Well, there's been calls for statues to be torn down, but a lot of Indigenous Australians really want their views to be listened to in our parliament. That's a priority. Plans for an Indigenous voice to government is proceeding behind the scenes. Despite Ken Wyatt, the Federal Minister for Indigenous Australians, tweeting late last week it's now unlikely that a referendum to recognise Indigenous Australians in the Constitution will be held in this term of government. Tom Calmer is co-chair of the Voice Co-Design Senior Advisory Group. Tom Calmer, welcome back to Breakfast.
No, thank you, Fran, and good morning.
Tom Calmer, will we see an Indigenous voice to Parliament before the next election?
Well, I think under the current planning, yes, that'll be the case. There's two processes going on. The one that Marcia Langton and I co-chair, and that is to develop up what a voice mechanism may look like, which will go be presented to government. It was expected to be presented around about this time, but due to COVID-19, it's been delayed. We'll still get it in within a couple of months, and government will consider that. And once they've agreed on a couple of models. We want to be able to put up a couple of models. We'll then take it out to the people over the next 6 months and get their views. And probably by about April, May next year, we'll have something come back to government after it's been consulted, and it'll be then up to government to consider. And, that'll give them enough time, assuming that the current cycle extends to this fullest limit parliamentary cycle. We hopefully will get some legislation up.
Okay, so just before we get to what that might look like, what does taking it out to the people mean? Once you get these models approved, what happens?
Yeah, look, the intent initially was to go out and explain what the models were and to be able to get a view from both Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians about what they thought of the models, and then we'd bring them back and take into consideration what people's views were, and then present what we would consider some final models to the government.
How would you measure that? There'll be some kind of broad consultation process for First Australians and the entire population. How will you measure their feedback?
With some challenge, I think. because we won't be able to necessarily be able to go and reach everybody because of COVID-19 restrictions, and so that's going to pose a bit of an issue. But we'll do it electronically. We've succeeded actually, not only within this exercise that I'm working on, but in quite a number of encounters with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people across the nation. Electronically, we've been communicating, and it's working quite successfully. So we've yet to determine how the feedback will be recorded and considered. If we really think about the process, this is just a part of a long, long process. We've had numerous bodies meet over the past decade even, coming up with various models, from the expert panel looking at constitutional reform to the Joint Select Committee of Parliament.
Sure.
And then we had the Uluru Statement from the Heart group, then our exercise, which has got two lots of co-design groups, one looking at the national level and the other looking at local and regional and what's currently working. And, the Minister's made it very clear that existing arrangements between state and territory governments and their constituents won't be affected, neither will the activities of Indigenous bodies.
So, Tom, the Uluru Statement of the Heart from Indigenous Australians was clear that it wanted the voice included in the Constitution, but it wasn't clear what the model was. It won't be included in the Constitution initially. Do you have a guarantee from the government that it will legislate a model of the voice, even though once this coalition government described that as a third chamber of the parliament and said no to it on that basis?
Yeah, well, I think has... has been addressed by within government, that they recognise that it won't be, and that's not the intent to create that body. But if we think, if we look back, and really one of the key informers has been the Joint Select Committee on Constitutional Reform, and what the minister's done is picked up the first two recommendations of four, and put them into play, and the first one was to say, let's create you know, a mechanism to be able to consider what a voice might look like and then take it out to the people. It's got to be co-designed, et cetera. Yeah. That was recommendation one. And recommendation two was for the government to consider, a legislative process to enshrine the voice, as well as, executive or constitutional options. So it's up to government to determine, the next step. But the first part of that is looking at, legislation. And at a future time, I'd imagine, and the minister's indicated this, and I think the Prime Minister, from recollection, has also said that once it's established and it's functional, if it, is acceptable, then it will be put to the people by way of a referendum.
And then that looks to be some years off after the minister has gone back on his commitment to hold a referendum this term of government. He says that will be a longer time away.
There's two processes. What the minister was talking about was recognising Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in the Constitution.
Yep.
And that was going to be this term. He'd hoped to have the question, and if it was... And, looking back, he said that, if the timing was right and it seemed likely to go to a referendum. But that's what he suggested is it won't happen this term of Parliament, is the recognition of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. The recognition of a voice or enshrining a voice in the Constitution is a different process altogether. Although the Uluru Statement from the Heart indicated that they wanted a referendum to enshrine the voice in the Constitution. And that's their position, but that won't happen. Not in this first instance.
Tom Kilmore, we're almost out of time, but on another matter, Rio Tinto's chief executive, globally Jean-Sébastien Jacques, has issued his own statement of regret for the blasting of the Juukan Caves on Friday. But now we have a recording emerging of an internal staff meeting where Chris Salisbury, the Rio boss of iron ore, said Rio weren't sorry for the blasting, only for the distress it caused. Tom, I'm sorry we only have 30 minutes, seconds to the news, but what does this tell you about company culture?
Oh, look, I think they really need to have a really close look at their culture. And they were a leader in the reconciliation movement. And really there's a lot of redress that they need to do, both for the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander population, not only in this mine, but across all of their mines. And all the big mining companies need to take the same look. Go back to their core principles that they've expressed in the reconciliation action plans and honour those.
Tom, we must leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.